Well, good afternoon, Tracy Morgan with you as we continue our extended news at noon on WISR 680 AM. And today with me for our interview, we have Senator Scott Hutchinson with us. And Senator Hutchinson's on the phone, of course, with us. Senator, thank you very much for spending a few time with us and a few minutes out of your day.
Thank you, Tracy. It's great to chat with you and let you know some of the things that are going on in state government.
Yeah, and we wanted to look at the reopening, and it's a big conversation, I know, and I know we only have a few minutes with you, but I want to remind people that, of course, you represent Clarion, Forest, Venango, parts of Warren, parts of Butler County. And so my first question for you is this, because you represent all of those areas except Butler, went into the yellow phase already. How have those counties fared? Have you seen any progress for them, or was it already time for them to move into that yellow phase?
I definitely think it was time for them to move in. Quite frankly, if I were making the decisions, Butler would have moved in right along with them. Similar numbers as far as number of folks infected, the hospital capacities, all those kind of things. Butler seemed to fit the same requirements, but for some reason that didn't go. But really, I think the folks in Western Pennsylvania have been very careful and diligent. And of course, we do live in a more spread out than some of the southeastern counties. So,
well, and that's
so
when,
been good.
When I mean, I'm familiar with Clarion, of course, and yeah. Forest and Venango and Warren. But when I ask you, through a senator's eyes, are we comparable to them, or are we more populated, or what was the reason that we're not going yellow until later this week?
Well, it's sort of been I'll call it a black box, because the governor, the secretary of health, they did talk about some of the metrics they were going to look at, but they never completely defined what all those metrics were. And you can speculate that just because of the region that Butler County is in, closer to Allegheny County, closer to a more populated area like that, and of course, southern Butler County is a little bit more similar towards the Pittsburgh population densities, but still not the same. But the bottom line is, it seemed like there was a lot of subjectivity, and I'll give credit to our county commissioners. They reached out early to the governor's office and you know, before any announcements for reopening were made, and said, "We feel we meet these metrics. Is there anything else any other information you need? Any other things we can do to help make this designation happen earlier?" And they heard nothing back. So they were, you know, they were proactive on this, but still it didn't break through in the first round.
So let me ask you then, what does reopening look like? And I ask that because I'll give you this scenario. So I was out the other day at a grocery store, and if we're supposed to be wearing masks, there are people not wearing masks. If we're supposed to be in aisles that are one way, there are people going two different ways. You know, it just feels like that some people are just doing what they want anyway. So what does yellow look like? Because when I'm looking at the different colors, going from red to yellow, there doesn't seem to be much of a difference.
There's not a lot of difference. There's some businesses that will be allowed to reopen that are not today, but still a lot that won't. But in any case, we are still, and I think it's prudent for people to practice safe practices, social distancing, wearing masks in public, being careful when you can, working at home when you still can, you know, if you're able to do that, those are still good practices. But this is to say there are businesses that can safely reopen, but there have to be new guidelines, you know, whether it's following the arrows on the grocery store aisles or whatever store aisles, wearing masks, all those kind of things. We still have to do that whether you're in red or yellow. I know it's a change of life, and it's a change of how people are used to being to operating. But we have to do this. But I do think businesses can do that and do it safely. It's going to take some, you know, people are going to have to get used to it themselves too. But that, and still, even with yellow, there are still a lot of businesses that are not allowed to be opened. I think even that list is a little bit too tight, but we'll take that as it is right now.
Well, and I think the conversation, of course, is a large one, and it's a big one, and not that we can solve in 10, 15 minutes with each other, but your aspect, of course, is on the political end, because information gets a little confusing, if I can say that.
Oh,
I mean, I've been doing what I've been doing for nearly 30 years, and covering this story has been confusing in itself, because, you know, you typically would have a progression with a story, and it just doesn't feel like, you know, this just feels like it's all up in the air. And so when you have the national government saying, hey, you know, we're going to let the governors make those decisions, and then the governors are making the decisions, and yet you as a legislator are in this mix as well, how is it for you and your other state senators or legislators in trying to figure all of this out?
It has been very trying, but if, let's take a step back and say that I think that the founders of our country, of our state, they realized that there is a need to have an executive as part of the government who's able to act quickly. And that's what we saw at the beginning of this this crisis. We had an executive who had to make some tough decisions and make them quickly, mobilize forces, do the shutdown stuff is what it ended up being. But he had to do that quickly without a whole lot of input. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. That's tough stuff. But as time goes on, you need more input, and mistakes are made in those original decisions, and so you have to have input, and that's what the legislature is for. We're here to be the eyes and ears of the community, but also just to help make better decisions by having more input. But once we got into this several weeks, and the legislature did get up and running. Through electronic means, like lots of other businesses, but our input was really cut out of the process. We really didn't have a whole lot, and we also thought it was important that county commissioners and local elected officials be part of that decision making process. I'm not saying they make final decisions, but they should be consulted or listened to. But even that wasn't happening, and I think that's what's caused a lot of the confusion. They're trying to make a one-size-fits-all, and it's not that easy. I think transparency and information from every level would make better decisions.
So a big topic of conversation is Governor Wolf's announcements of consequences for counties that do not abide by the law to remain closed, non-compliant counties being blocked from getting some funding, businesses being sued, losing liquor licenses, things like that. Can that and would that happen? I mean, is that, I know he's made the announcement, would he go forward with it?
As you look at some of the things he said, some are definitely within his power to do. The licensure things, you know, if you're a highly regulated business, you know, you have to be careful because your license can be removed. You know, your liquor license, your salon license, those kinds of things. They do have to be careful, and I'm not downplaying that, but. The money kinds of things, that's an overreach by the governor. I don't think he has the say over the money like he was implying. That does take the legislature to be part of that mix. And the other, my understanding is that, and I myself haven't talked with some of the insurance companies, but most of them said that's a vast overstatement of insurance coverages. And it's not, it doesn't really fit real world. If you have insurance, most insurance policies don't say anything about these kinds of orders. And if you have a claim and it falls within your policy, you're going to get paid. So I think that was a pretty wide statement for the governor to make also.
As we look at reopening and whether it's getting into the yellow phase, of course, which we get to do here in a couple of days, or if we finally get the green, are you looking as a state legislator for guidelines of how that's done? Should we have that as we're talking about reopening, not alongside of washing your hands and wearing your masks? And I understand that. But how does like a restaurant open when they have tables side by side? You know, should there already be guidelines from the state, or where do those guidelines come from? And how can you fit X number amount of people in a given space and still have your business survive? Because a restaurant, we'll just say a restaurant for example, but a restaurant can't survive long term with just two or three people coming in.
Right. We have lots of challenges, and a lot of businesses are going to be radically changing the way they do things. But the point is, as you were stating, there should be clearer guidelines. There are CDC best practices, and I think that should be the basis of everything we're talking about. But in the end, the state should be much clearer, much more transparent about, A, who's allowed to open, how you have to operate, and it should be much lots more detail there than what we have gotten from the Secretary of Health so far. So, you know, that certainty of the ability to operate, the kind of guidelines you have to go to, I think people, businesses, individuals will abide by them as long as they are clear. And I think, as you mentioned earlier, this weekend, it isn't clear in some respects. People think, oh, it's yellow, or it's going to be yellow, and I can go outside without a mask on. And no one is making the case real clear guidelines of here's what you must do, and that would make life a lot safer and a lot more transparent.
State Senator Scott Hutchinson with us. Of course, he represents part of Butler, Clarion. Well, he represents all of Clarion, Forest, and Venango, and then, of course, parts of Warren County as well. And, Senator, if I could ask you, I know that you were recently a part of, you know, the local government and Health and Human Services Committee, where there was a conversation surrounding testing for nursing homes and personal care facilities and staff. And if I understand this correctly, you were inquiring why there wasn't more targeted testing or quarantining response focused on the staff. Do you think that testing for more individuals for all nursing homes and personal care facilities, but also businesses, would help so we know who may test positive and who may not? Would you think that reopening would help with businesses? And then what are your thoughts for the nursing homes and personal care facilities?
Well, I'll start with that first. I think if you look at the numbers statewide and nationwide, we have a tragedy going on within our nursing homes, and it was something that was actually predictable. The early signs of how impactful COVID was going to be in the United States was the nursing home out in Washington State, where very early on a large number of individuals in a single nursing home were stricken and passed away, and that was sort of the warning to the rest of the country about how serious this could be, and that was back in February, I believe. At that point, more targeted resources and thought and help should have been provided for our nursing homes here in Pennsylvania. I'll stick to Pennsylvania. The Department of Health, that is their job in good times, in bad times, coronavirus, it doesn't matter. They are the major regulators of the nursing home industry, and they should have been all over that, targeted resources there. And my understanding is they even put together a plan to have like a strike team to go to hot spots in nursing homes and do extra help and testing and all those kind of things, but they never really implemented that plan, and that's truly unfortunate. But if you really think about it, if you have limited resources, limited testing, the ones you should help are the ones who are at most risk going forward. So you should target your resources to those who are at most at risk, and that's the nursing homes. And we should have done that. We should be doing it even better now. And that's really what we were talking about at that hearing last week. And I'm hoping, and the legislature is doing its part, we're going to today appropriate some lots of extra money and resources for the nursing homes. It's federal money that we are distributing, but we have to target where the problems really exist, and that's it. What was the other part we were talking about?
Well, I have this question while you're on this topic, sure. Because can you tell us, and I'll say behind the scenes, only I put it that way because you live government. A lot of people don't live government, sure. In and out. We just, you know, try to pay attention to what you're doing with news clips. And so what happens in your purview, if you will, with trying to get more testing? Because what we hear as a conversation outside of your shoes is we need more testing, we need more testing, we need more testing. I've talked to the medical community quite a few times on this show, and it's we don't have a test for everyone. And then we turn around and say, well, we should have testing. So how do we get more testing? Is it with the funds that you're talking about, the federal funds? How do you get that money to get more testing?
That's going to help. I'm going to say what I believe is a true statement is that we are never going to have widespread testing. Everybody is not going to get tested. It's not a good use of resources, and we don't have the resources anyways. I think the future is about the antibody testing, and actually the private sector is opening their own clinics. You know, Rite Aid is opening clinics across the state to do testing on demand. And then once the private sector gets involved and folks are made available of that, then I think you'll see much more widespread testing than we possibly can do today. We will have the ability for, you know, say a business wants to have all their employees tested because somebody was found positive. Then they would be able to hire a private sector like a Rite Aid to come and test all their folks. Again, even in the best case scenario, we're not going to test every single person. It's just not going to happen. It's not possible. And it's not even smart to do that because once you do tests, somebody thinks they're safe, but they could catch something the next day and they're not safe anymore. So we have to, you know, if there's a reasonable probability that folks have been infected, that's when you test. And you can do antibody tests now that see who has already been infected. And the hope is, and this is still being worked out, they're hoping that those who've had the test have immunity going forward. That's not 100% yet. They don't know that for sure, but they believe that will be the case, that once you have COVID-19 and your body adjusts to it, then you won't get it again. And then we'll be able to say, those are the kind of folks who, you know, maybe we have 20 nurses in one nursing home, and they've already had COVID. You'd put them in the wing to treat COVID patients because they would be immune, and they wouldn't be spreading anything that they were exposed to within that. That we'd be able to be much more targeted once we get robust antibody testing going on. Private sector is going to have to be a big part of that. The government can get these early stages, but it's going to really take bigger than that.
And I think you just answered my other question, which was about if we had testing for everybody, would businesses be able to open up easier and people feel safer. But let me move on to this question then. Scott Hutchinson with us, Senator Scott Hutchinson. You have many offices, of course, throughout the various places that you represent. Your Butler office at 110 East Diamond Street in Butler, of course, right next to us, if you will. Will your offices open during yellow? When do you come back and visit? Well, I see you everywhere, which I think is a great thing when we would typically have farms and fairs and whatnot. But when does your office reopen? How can people get in touch with you?
Okay, we've been open through this whole thing, but not open to walk-in traffic.
Right.
We've been available by email and electronically by website, phone calls, and we've been very, very busy because there's been lots of problems caused by government, lots of questions raised, and we've been trying to help as many people as we can who have those questions to get them answered. We will be opening to walk-in traffic soon, but I'm not exactly sure yet. We want to also make sure that we have protocols in place, cleaning ability, maybe some other structural changes so that we can keep social distancing. And if people need to see us in person. So once we get that figured out and nailed down, we'll be able to open to walk-in traffic. But we are available as we speak for folks who need help. And we've helped and tried to help hundreds of folks through this process because, as I said, government's been sort of the problem because some things were not clear or transparent or lots of new programs in place and people had lots of questions about it. And we've been fielding those as best we can.
And if I could ask you one more question, how long do you think it will take to go from yellow to green? Or is that going to be the next phase of discussion?
Well, I hope it's discussion because right now it's really come out of a back room at the governor's office without clear criteria. There's no one who can clearly answer why one county moved to yellow and others didn't. They'll talk about some of the parameters. They don't. So I'm hoping that through discussion with lots of people, local elected officials, legislators, outside health experts, not just those who work for the Department of Health, that we can have a very transparent and orderly process to quickly move counties to the next phase. And that's right now it is not clear. There's no set dates. There's no set guidelines. I'm hoping it's sooner rather than later. But if nothing else, I hope it's very objective and explained well, and people know what the targets are and what it will take to reopen, and that way we can all move ahead and trust each other and see, know what the next step is and how to achieve it.
State Senator Scott Hutchinson, of course, representing Clarion, Forest, Venango counties, parts of Warren, and parts of Butler County as well. Senator, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate your time.
Thank you for your time, and best wishes to everyone in Butler County and surrounding counties.